You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hello, everybody. I'm Anthony Kasserman. Thanks for tuning in to our weekly Tribe Chat with Jordan Bastian. JB is still out in Arizona. Opening day is fast approaching. Spring training camp is winding down. The Indians have made a lot of decisions as it pertains to their opening day roster, and really, some of the decisions, unfortunately, were made for them. JB, some news this week with Lonnie Chisenhall setback, and of course, Michael Brantley as well, not going to be ready for opening day, which is, in the big picture, not terribly surprising, given how closely removed he is from shoulder surgery. But Chisenhall is yet another development in this ever-evolving outfield picture. If the projected outfield at one time was Brantley, Abe Almonte, and Chisenhall, that has all been washed away, at least as it pertains to opening day. Talk me through the Chisenhall injury and what that meant for the rest of the roster.
Yeah, I mean, he's been dealing with a forearm issue at least a couple of weeks ago he was, and, you know, he's also been dealing with a left wrist issue, which kind of has been bothering him on and off throughout, he said. It's taking a toll on his swing, taking a toll on his offense, as evidenced by his spring batting average. And, you know, they just kind of reached a point here, while he's feeling much better, and he even says he's pain-free at this point. He hasn't really garnered the enough, you know, the volume of at-bats that the Indians would prefer, and that he would prefer. You know, he's been trying to get at-bats on the minor league side, you know, just to sort of rack up the volume that he's missed. But he's still not comfortable yet, and I think the Indians just aren't comfortable yet with where he is. So he can open up on the 15-day disabled list, and it kind of works out because facing the Red Sox and facing the White Sox, there will be a lot of left-handed pitchers who could be in play. And those are games that Chisenhall probably wouldn't have been in the starting lineup anyway. So kind of looking at the early season schedule, looking at the amount of at-bats that he missed, it just makes too much sense, you know, to say, hey, you know, we're not going to play in any spring games. We'll open you on the DL. And then on April 12th, when they open a series in Tampa Bay, he'll be eligible to come off. And if he feels as good or better than he does right now, you know, all indications are that he'll be ready come off the DL as soon as he's eligible.
Well, yeah, that timing seems to work out with the lefty pitching, and of course, it remains to be seen how much they mix and match when it comes to facing lefties. And there's going to be a lot of mixing and matching in general in that outfield. And then other repercussions, of course, to that injury, Marlon Byrd makes the club, Colin Cowgill makes the club. Interesting with Byrd there, obviously the Indians signed a couple veteran guys to minor league deals during spring training camp, Will Venable and Marlon Byrd. Byrd makes the club, Venable does not. Basically, that comes down, I would imagine, to the glaring need for right-handed power, correct?
Yeah, and Byrd, you know, not only against left-handed pitching, he has a pretty decent track record against right-handed pitching as well. So while Chisenhall's out, he can probably be the right fielder. And they really like Cowgill, not only because of what he can do against lefty pitching, but they like that he can be a little disruptive on the base paths. And they also like the fact that he can back up in center field as well. So he can play all three, gives them that option. And I think he could have had room for both of those guys, even in a scenario where Naquin and Chisenhall and Davis are on the roster. I think he could have made it work. But this way, maybe it allows the Indians to carry an extra pitcher. They have yet to announce, you know, kind of the exact makeup of the pitching staff. But I think we're looking at a scenario where Cody Anderson, Josh Tomlin, both make the roster, which is a pretty interesting idea. One of those guys could maybe be a swing guy. Maybe they're both in the rotation. Maybe Trevor Bauer becomes an option for the bullpen. We'll see how that all plays out. But it's an interesting scenario with Chisenhall going to the DL, kind of opening up that possibility for an extra arm on the pitching staff.
Yeah, I'm sure as much as Terry Francona did not like to see what happened to Chisenhall, I'm sure he leaps at any opportunity to carry an extra pitcher. And obviously the Indians are probably going to go that route for opening day. Ross Detweiler makes the club, non-roster invitee. That's a nice comeback story for him, making it back to the big leagues. What went into that decision?
Yeah, and I think it remains to be seen what the comeback story will lead to in the major leagues. But I think what's really interesting about it is this seems to be sort of one of the cases where it's a lot of people went into this decision. You know, over the winter before they signed him, the front office identified a flaw in his delivery. They found that for a 6'5" pitcher, he was taking the stride length of like a 5'10" pitcher. And they had, you know, they relayed that information to Mickey Callaway, who got on the phone and relayed that information to Detweiler and really kind of explained, hey, here's what we see. And if you sign with us, here's what we're going to tackle in spring training. And, you know, reasons why they felt if he made those changes, you know, he could be a much more effective pitcher. So, you know, he really bought in right away and went to work on those changes, really hit it off with Mickey Callaway, got into camp, you know, worked on those changes within his outings, which they were impressed with, because a lot of times when players are competing, they'll just go back to what they can do to get guys out rather than working on implementing changes in the middle of a spring training outing. And so they were really impressed, and they also liked the idea that he could potentially be a multi-inning lefty who could handle lefties and righties. They weren't sure prior to the Chisholm injury that they could carry an extra arm or an extra pure bullpen arm maybe, and this way they're not locked into a lefty specialist. I think, you know, Terry Francona, as everyone kind of well knows by now, really likes the versatility among his players, whether it's a utility guy, whether it's a reliever. So I think Detweiler sort of provides a little more versatility in the bullpen.
Just kind of tying a bow on spring training here, we've, of course, talked quite a bit about Tyler Naquin as spring has progressed, and it kind of became a foregone conclusion he was going to make the club, but that, of course, became official since we last spoke, and it's got to be a great moment for him. You love when a young guy legitimately steps up and earns a job.
Yeah, I think for two reasons this was pretty cool story. First, just like you said, you know, they kind of sat him down and said, hey, with Brantley injured and with Almonte facing the suspension, there's a clear opening. You know, go seize this opportunity. And, you know, he really did. He was the best performing outfielder in camp this spring. Very, very impressive. So it's a cool story in that regard. And I think the other side of it, so many Indians fans have grown to expect with a young player that they will not be on the opening day roster, because all the Indians care about is service time and future arbitration years and saving nickels and pennies. And in this case, they showed with Tyler Naquin that he earned a spot on the roster, and they went with the guy that made the most sense and earned it regardless of where he is in his major league career. So I thought that was nice to see for a change. You know, a prospect will be opening with the Indians, you know, after really doing everything in his power to earn that job, you know, and maybe more so than a lot of the other candidates that were in camp.
Yeah, amen to that. And, of course, you know, they faced that criticism last year with Lindor, but there's
right.
Previous instances in this organization of moving guys up when the need arose and when the guy proved his readiness.
Yep.
So, you know, Matt LaPorta falls in that category. Alex White back in the day. These guys, of course, did not pan out as stars, but they certainly got the opportunity when it was there. All right, so bold predictions. Let's make some bold predictions here, JB.
Oh, boy.
Give me your first.
You know what? My first bold prediction, I'll say that one of the Indian starters will win the Cy Young Award, and it won't be Corey Kluber. You know, I think there's so much talent within this staff, and I think Carlos Carrasco and Danny Salazar are really positioned well to have breakout years, more so than they did last year. They were obviously breakout seasons in many ways for both of those pitchers last year, but I think these are both guys that are capable of being the number one or ace, so to speak, on many other teams, and they just happen to be the number two and the number three of a very talented pitching staff. So I could very well see one of those pitchers coming away with some hardware, you know, on a staff where Corey Kluber has already accomplished that a couple years ago.
I like it. You know, one man's bold is another man's tame. I don't know if everyone will consider that a bold prediction. I think maybe Josh Tomlin winning the Cy Young might be a bold prediction. But I do like where your head's at, because certainly those guys don't get, especially Salazar, I don't think he gets the love that his 2015 season deserved. You know, there's some metrics to suggest he was he was every bit as valuable, if not more valuable, than Kluber and Carrasco last season. So certainly going to be a lot of eyes on those first three starters in the Tribe rotation. How about something from the offense? Give me a bold prediction for somebody on the offensive side.
Well, let's see. As much distaste as there seems to be among some Tribe fans for Carlos Santana, you know, let's say this year is the year he finally hits 30 home runs. He's shown the potential before. He's had 27 a couple times. He's had a down year last year. Slugging was down. But I think bringing Mike Napoli in takes some pressure off of him, takes the spotlight a little bit more off him in terms of needing to be the guy in the heart of that lineup. So maybe this year he relaxes a little more, gets that confidence going, and can put 30 home runs alongside his 100 walks. I think that would be nice to see. Again, I don't know if that's a bold prediction, but, you know, maybe saying Francisco Lindor hits 30 would be a crazy prediction. I don't think that's going to happen. But I think Santana hitting 30 would be a very, very nice development for the Indians. And I certainly think it's obtainable.
Yeah, I'd say that's bold. I like that as bold. This is his age 30 season, by the way. So there's some some numerical correlation there. I like that a lot.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
You can't say enough about Santana and Yan Gomes, being X-factors in this offense, really, because, you know Brantley is going to be slow go early on. Of course, now the Chisenhall development, there's just that general concern about where are the runs going to come from. Those guys are essential. Bounce-back seasons for those guys. So we'll see how that all shakes out. It won't be long. Opening day fast approaching. Tribe Red Sox on Monday at Progressive Field. Jordan Bastian and I will both be there. We will be freezing our you-know-whats off and enjoying every minute of it. Until then, thanks for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Cleveland Indians edition.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.